evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you might be on this wonderful planet, and welcome to the creative field. My name is Jeannie Martin, and I am your host here on bbsradio.com every second Sunday at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, rain or shine. Isn't it wonderful? You can sit in the comfort of your own home and come online and listen to a program of like ours. The Creative Field is a program that offers creative solutions to a sustainable life on planet Earth, and particularly to focus on what is possible, to learn from people who work hard to make things actually happen. And in order to sustain and maintain a healthy natural environment on Mother Earth that will support life for our children and our children's children, Creative Field is here to just provide an opportunity for many discussions on what is possible. We're at a time on planet Earth right now where some of us are feeling pretty pressured, wondering what's going to happen next. Well, the good news is you're a creator, and the Creative Field is here to present many different things about what could be possible for the world ahead. And there's a lot of good things and opportunities that we can share together. We are here on BBS because of our supporters, the Emissaries of Divine Light, British Columbia, and Edenvale Retreat Center in beautiful Abbotsford, British Columbia. Edenvale is an oasis, a lovely oasis, just an hour away from Vancouver in Abbotsford, and it's a conference and retreat center, and that's where I'm having the wonderful opportunity to talk to you from tonight. I am a resident of Edenvale, and that was part of the reason why I came up with our topic tonight that I'm really looking forward to discussing. Before I introduce our special guest, I'd like you to know that you can call in for free, toll-free, with any questions or comments that you might have for my guest or myself. And the phone number for calling in is toll-free, 888-627-6008. So your input is greatly appreciated, and feel free to call us and ask us anything at all. I wanted to just put out a couple of words here that I've been contemplating over this last while, because I keep hearing it from many different sources. And those words are global community. Global community. Well, I'm hoping that tonight we can explore the meaning of what is community and the on-the-ground reality of what is community, and particularly intentional communities, big and small. So we're going to be discussing the pros, the cons, the challenges, the joys, and the responsibilities of living with others in intentional communities and other communities that we choose to become a part of. There's many ways in which people choose to join an intentional community, and that can be everything from wanting to be with people of like mind, or perhaps there's a cultural expression that wants to be shared. You may have the same interests, you may have spiritual connections, and you may even have financial reasons why you think that it might be a good idea to come together in an intentional community. So my guest tonight is Dr. Carol Robertson. Carol and I have been friends for several years now, and it was through our spiritual community that we originally met. So when I was thinking of our topic tonight, I thought of Carol immediately, as I know that she's got a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience about community and intentional living communities in her own life. So I would like now to introduce our guest, Carol Robertson. Hi, Carol. How are you?
I am good, Jeannie. It's good to be with you this evening.
Absolutely. I've been looking forward to this for quite a while now, and I know that as we have a conversation, maybe some people are thinking, well, maybe I don't think I want to move into a community. But particularly at this time, in the world's history and what's going on in the world, we don't know when that might happen, that we do really need to come together in a very, very different way than we've been doing. And some of us that have chosen to live in intentional communities, maybe we just got a little bit of a head start, I'm hoping. So, Carol, I want to ask you if you could share with us tonight your history of community living and how you began from being at home with your family and where you are today.
Sorry, Jeannie, I missed that. There was a change in the phone line. Can you repeat it?
Okay. I was just going to ask you, Carol, if you could share with us your history of community living and all the way back from maybe even when you started as a kid in your own home, and then what drew you to community living along the way?
Let me think about that. Yeah, I started off in a community called a family.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 19, I went away to university. That's my first experience of living with other people outside my family. Then it's a matter of having, I wasn't in a dorm, I was in a house that had other students living there. I went from there to living in a house with a whole lot of other students and a couple and their two children. I was about 19 or 20 when I went into that kind of a situation. I went through university, 7 years of university, living with, I think it was about 6 or 7 other young adults plus the couple and their children. Most of us were in school, some were working. I lived in some communal homes because of my spiritual group that I am a member of. I moved to Vancouver from Ontario, and various sizes of communal homes during that time while I did my residency. And I was working full-time and a little bit beyond, as anyone who knows anything about being an intern can guess. And it was very helpful for me because other people were able to do some of the cooking and some of the shopping, and I didn't have to come home every night or every other night and think up what I was going to eat for dinner. So that was very helpful. I did a little bit of living on my own, and then I moved out to Edenvale. At that time, it was wholly an intentional spiritual community. Taught spiritual classes, and there were about 35 people resident then. And it was much more close quarters than it is now. Very few people had separate apartments. Mostly you shared a room. But that was the order of the day in the 70s as well. So times have changed. Then I lived on my own a little bit more, bought a house around the corner from Edenvale, and fairly quickly ended up with a communal type of home there where other people came to live in my home, and I married, and my husband and I had anywhere from 2 to 7 people living with us. Where I did most of the cooking and some of the people did cooking as well. I had certain nights that I didn't cook because I worked evenings. I also ran a full-time medical practice up until 2002 and then worked part-time. So a year and a half ago, my husband and I moved to Vancouver Island, and we live just the two of us now in a small community called Bowser. And we're discovering that community is an atmosphere that people provide. Recently, we had something come into our lives which could be termed a tragedy, and the people in this community have been extremely kind and very generous. So that took it out beyond us living by our lonesome in our own house and started to see the community as a bigger surround, the whole village, so to speak. So that's mm-hmm. where we are now.
Well, I love how you said that community is people that provide the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Because isn't that true? When people do come together, I know that, you know, I haven't had anywhere near the experience that you have living with different amounts of people. And like you say, you were here when there was 35 other people living here. There's got to be a lot of give and take, a lot of responsibilities that are shared. It's got to be respect for privacy. How did you work through those things?
I think probably one of the main things is to take a look at what you really need. To be willing to work with give and take, and in some ways, like a marriage, don't let things build up until they get huge.
Yeah, isn't that true? And I was just thinking, as you said, something like a marriage, I think, and I don't want to speak for the rest of the population, but it seems sometimes that when we're looking even into a marriage, we're looking at, well, what we can get from that marriage or what that person can fill in. But really, it's also about what do I bring? And in community, you know, I've lived in a house community with seven or eight of us. One that was 11 with kids, living in one house together, which is a different kind of a dynamics, of course, than living in your own apartment that might be connected to the next apartment and so on a certain piece of property. But there's a lot to be said about having to have a look at what your expectations are, for one thing, and again, how you are willing to, I'm going to say, adapt to a greater principle, knowing that when you're together, and that's how I feel here at Edenville, I feel a bigger life because I'm together with these wonderful people. I don't know how to explain that.
Yeah, I think in my experience, having a larger purpose, or having a spiritual purpose, or particularly a spiritual purpose, cuts through a lot of the argument.
Yes, and I think that was one of the first things that I noticed, was when there is a potential, I won't even call it a conflict, when people have different opinions and it has to be expressed, at least the first objective is to come to a spiritual solution, which makes it a lot easier, like you said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a whole lot of different reasons for living together, and there are communities in the world that have been very successful, which have to do with raising families together, with sharing the responsibilities of family and community while people continue to work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think the most successful in the world have had a spiritual basis. And I...
Yeah, so I hear you because...
For me, that has been important in my life. But it's not the only kind of community that can be built. There are a number of cooperatives even that I'm aware of, even throughout the Lower Mainland and in BC in particular, where people have You know, they set up the rules and the regulations, they make their agreements, and they work with them. And
I know there's they seem to be the ones that are well closest to here seem to be somewhat successful. Again, I agree with you. If you have a spiritual base or something that's very, I don't know, let's call it dear to you, I suppose you can live in a community if you all wanted to be sheep farmers and really loved them. Mm-hmm. But having that base, that common agreement, makes it a lot easier when you have to straighten things out, so to speak. And another thing, you know, I was just thinking this term global community, and you know me, I'm not a doomy gloomy kind of a person, but I know that the very first time that I lived in a house with a whole bunch of people, and we did it because of financial reasons, and we were all adults, but at the same time, we did it for financial reasons. We knew each other, and we could get a nice big house together for less than we could go out and rent an apartment for. And in those particular cases, and perhaps you experienced that at your home, but again, you always had that spiritual base to it, is that when you go into an arrangement like that, you have to be prepared for sometimes things to change, because if you've got five people paying rent and all of a sudden two people move out, you've got a whole different scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of the things that I would suggest to people who might be thinking of sharing with one another. And I remember when we got out of high school, for me, well, I was looking for a bunch of roommates so that I could just afford to move out, just to be on my own. And yeah. I think you think a little bit different when you're 18 or 19 or 20 years old.
Yeah, it's interesting, but I thought my need for privacy was a lot less in my younger years.
Right. Oh, I agree. I agree.
And I was always a bit introverted, but even so, I think I craved having my own private space more as I got older.
Mm-hmm.
And don't know why that is. Maybe it's because as I've aged, I've become more contemplative and less busy.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to be able to sit and do that. Not sure what all those reasons might be. I think our society has changed in this. I mean, being a good hippie and or flower child in the 60s and 70s you were more willing to try those kinds of things, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I would certainly recommend to anyone starting off now looking at something cooperative or community-based that
mm-hmm.
they really get through. There's lots of information out there now. I mean, some of us just started and did it and sort of gradually found out what worked and didn't work. For me, it's not ever been a matter of expecting anyone to be the same religion as me or even to think quite the same as me, but there was a compatibility in values, both spiritual and outer values. And
mm-hmm.
You're not always going to have a perfect fit first time. And some people can live in one community and not in another community. And it's not that you're a failure at community. It's that's not the community for you. So if you have a desire to live in community or communally, which is more like you, the eight people in the same house, or in a cooperative, which is everybody has their own space, but they have common space and they work together to keep it working well. They're all forms of community and communal living.
Yeah, and I'm thinking too, you know, with back to that non-doom and gloom thing, you know, there's a few things that are going on in the world that could turn the lights out. But the sun flares get any bigger than they are, there's a very good chance of that. So I know for us, anyway, we're sort of thinking of, well, let's get prepared just in case something happens. I mean, and you know, when we were kids, people got ready for winter. People got ready for spring. People got ready ahead of time because they knew the cycles were happening. And now when I think about a third of our population here in Vancouver lives in the West End, I wonder sometimes, you know, just, I hope, I really hope that those people have found a way to, I don't care if they have their own little penthouse garden up there at the top of the building, or a supply of food, perhaps, if the power goes out. But I think that we live in a time now where many different things are aiming at creating larger communities, something that's bigger than ourselves. And even here, as we live together on one piece of property, we're looking now to expand that vision to the community that's around us and appreciate the person who's down the road and has the turkeys and appreciate the person who's down the road and grows a certain crop or has the chickens or supplies the eggs and all of those things, because that'll be what will be going on. If we need each other, that's what we need to know, is we can provide something and help each other all through us. Because you can't be an island in today's world.
Yeah, there's quite an emphasis these days on, quote, disaster planning. But a lot of those plans cement friendships, get people together, and you can start doing those things even if there's no disaster.
Yeah.
And there are ways that we can live together, still have our needs met as much as we can. And we may have to reevaluate if there is something major come down in the earth, if there's no electricity, or if you can't get, you know, your lettuce and your mangoes from California and your avocados, then maybe you better start growing your own, whatever grows here. Get used to eating what you can grow, or what comes from the 100-mile diet, for example, or the backyard diet, where I've learned a few things from my brother on the backyard diet, just in terms of growing what you need to eat. And finding the people that will, you know, share, so it can go back and forth, and where you can purchase things that are the kind of thing you want. And it's the interrelationship. I think is so important in the world today, is to not isolate but interrelate.
I'm wondering, you know, as it throughout your life, with all the different experiences and the people that you've been with, when you look back on it now, what do you think were the, let's look at it from different angles, what was the biggest challenge to be with other people in community? What is a challenge or two that you managed to either work through or work around or were faced with at times?
I think one of the biggest things for me was that I worked full-time and was on call quite often, so that I wasn't as available to put the same number of hours in that other people might. And there were times when that was irritating to other people.
Mm-hmm.
As well, you know, and I felt like I should be doing more. So it wasn't all one-sided. And I found ways around it. I love to bake, so when I was available, I'd find out what needed to be baked and get it all baked. I'd take an evening when I was home and go bake. Or if I knew I was going to be home and not called out, I could maybe cook a dinner. I could put extra money in because I was earning it.
Mm-hmm. And what you're saying here, too, is the key, because if people do come together in community, there's sometimes that you don't have the time that you can give, or you don't have the money that you can give, or you don't have something else. But there's always a way to find something else that you can give. And, yes. You know, I'm a big believer in the greatest problems on our planet today is because we believe in money. I think we did just fine when we bartered, you know, and so now I'm kind of feeling relieved that people will actually go back to some kind of a system that says, here, let me do this because I can do this, and if you could help and do that for me, that, and everybody's happy because not only are you keeping things going, which in a community you got to do, you're able to give love and receive love as you help each other in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm sorry, go ahead, Carol.
The old Indian, not Indian, but Native prophecy about walking a mile in someone else's moccasins.
Yeah.
It really holds true because that sort of reaction, that sort of instant reaction about something you don't like, you also haven't seen it from their standpoint. So it takes the courage to step back and have a look at something. That doesn't mean that things aren't going to come up which are not tenable in a community and that have to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
But more often, the majority of things do have, let me look at it from your side, and I'll tell you my side, and we'll see where the balance is or where the point is, that how we can joggle this to make it work. And
yeah,
it's not always the same person who's going to have to give in. It's not going to be a give in. It can't be that, or else you get sort of resentments getting bred.
Yeah, that's right. And when you're sharing the same space, whether you're in the same house or whether you're just on the same property, whatever it is, there's a real push to get things solved, because otherwise everybody suffers for it. You wake up to it every day.
Yeah, and every situation's different. It occurs to me that, you know, when I and my husband were having lots of people live with us, it was our house. So we were on the hook for everything. And that probably changed how we interacted. I'm not sure we were always the best at it, but we tried. And for the most part, we had a pretty copacetic relationship with the people in the house with us. But when you have a number of people who live together and it's joint property, or it's the property of a spiritual group and people are there,
yeah, or the co-op.
Yeah. It's very important that things be clear and upfront. And you may have to have written rules and regulations.
I kind of wish sometimes, Carol, that we were able to go back to the time of the tribes. I think they had a wonderful
system. Original commune.
Yeah. And a beautiful system. From the bottom to the top. And the wise ones, rather than, you know, seeming to be in the Western world today where those with the wisdom are sort of like pushed off into the background. In those times, people looked to the wisdom of the elders because they had the experience. How to survive, how to plant, how to hunt, how to, you know, the history of, and when there was something wrong with the tribe, they would come to the circle with the elders. And if our whole justice system was like that, I think we wouldn't have any problems there either.
Yeah.
You don't
there
have
is something to having a community with the different age groups present. And I'm not sure that everyone sees it that way, but I'm learning maybe as I get older. I really appreciate having teenagers, little kids, and their parents, and then me as a grandparent. And there is a bit of tension that's creative that comes in that. Which that's different than just having, 20 to 30-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where a lot gets done.
Yeah, a lot does get done. That's true. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it's very important, too, that I think when coming into community, for whatever reason it is, that the reason is clear. And if that reason changes or that vision is lost, that whole community can fall apart. So I think it's a very good thing if people are in community to make time to come together and have regular, first of all, you're not in community unless you like people anyway. If you're just there to save money on the rent, your feeling isn't going to last long enough to hold you there in the long term. You have to be willing to want to live in that situation. And over time, it certainly teaches you a lot about yourself as well. And like you said, you take the time to find the ways to make things work.
Right.
If you look back over your life and think about all those scenarios, would you, if you went back again, did you have more life and juice with those 35 people around and everybody bustling around, or having 7 or 8 or 9 adults and young people at times, or living on your own? Maybe they got their benefits at some different times, eh?
Yes. To be honest, it's all been good. I'm happy with my life, but I did really enjoy living in community. There was something. My heart really, really enjoyed it.
That's the main thing.
There is something about seeing other people on a regular basis, about caring for them and being cared for, about knowing that other people are watching out for you and aware of you no matter what you're doing, that they can come to you and you can go to them when things are troubling. There's something about all that. I mean, now I have a virtual community. Yes, Bill and I live alone. We have family and grandkids not very far away. There's a telephone, which doesn't even require electricity, that I can pick up and phone anyone when I need to talk something out. And I think sometimes we forget that. So I think that right now there's a huge virtual community as well, and whether or not we can continue with that in times to come, we just don't know. If those solar flares get beyond their present size, that might be in question. But
mm-hmm. I look back, when I first lived with my kids and a bunch of adults in the house, people used to say to me, "Oh my goodness, how can you do that? I can't live with other people." And I'm thinking, if you can't live with other people, I mean, it's not for everyone, and that doesn't mean everybody should decide tomorrow to go out and join an intentional community, because we all like different things. But the idea that, oh, I couldn't live with other people, it makes me think, oh my goodness, so how are you ever going to get peace on this earth if you can't even live with somebody else if you had to, you know? And I remember when I was younger, like when I was a teenager or a kid, I used to hear that comment all the time, oh, everybody in communities, everybody knows your business. And I used to think, well, what are you trying to hide anyway other than when you take a bath or something?
Yeah.
But that was something that I heard a lot was, oh, I wouldn't want to live in a little tiny town, and I wouldn't want to live in an intentional community because you've got no privacy. Well, that's not, I don't find that to be true at all, do you?
No, I didn't. I didn't find it to be true. There, I think for children, sometimes they find it a little much. It's a bit overwhelming, and real care needs to be taken to provide intimate family time, like the mother, father, children, or whatever combination of that there is, in specific time. Because children need that kind of security. So there is a rightness to some of that. But learning to not be quite that inquisitive and minding your own business is part of living in community as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, like what I'm finding right now, the tiny little village we live in wants to know to be helpful, not just to gossip.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a different way to look at it, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting that you should talk about the kids. And you know, what would you say today if there were some young people? Because I keep thinking, with the financial scenarios that are going on. And I know now I've got grandchildren, and all my grandchildren are up in their high teens, most of them, and they're looking for work and they're having a hard time finding it, even a little part-time job as they go to school so that they can save up and do things. I'm wondering if in time they may be, I don't want to say forced, but they may be in a position where they need to find other people to share community with. And if they are young and they're starting new families, what would you tell a young couple with children that might be considering going into intentional communities together to be aware of?
Be choosy.
What about taking the kids, not just keeping them in the, like, making their vista broader than just that community?
Yes. I think what I just said about making sure you have a little space which is just you and your family, mm-hmm. so that the kids can play with just mom and dad, or just mom, just dad, whichever. You don't want a situation where your child has to share a bedroom with you forever. That's okay when they're really tiny, and it's not so okay when they're a little older. And it's mm-hmm. not okay for them as well as necessarily for mom and dad.
Yeah. I'm just
there's things like that, you know. And particularly a single parent with one child, then that happens a lot because you're busy looking after your child, and work is difficult. And sometimes the cooperative can happen, even though you live in your own homes, around looking after children. So, you know, your child goes to their house one day after school, you know, while the rest of you work. And then it moves around the community. There may be something like that needs to develop, you know, living on a cul-de-sac where the kids have more access. And it's, yes, they get to know families, but then they come home for supper or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think there's a need to broaden our vision about how community can work.
I'm just going to take this opportunity, Carol, to give our listeners the telephone number if they'd like to call in and ask any questions. Just dial toll-free 1-888-627-6008. So if you have any questions for Carol about intentional community, or, you know, community is a big word. And back to that idea of global community. And that's the reason why I wanted to discuss right from that thought of, oh my goodness, I couldn't live with other people, to the idea that we become a global community. Well, there's a lot of lessons to be learned in between those two ends of the stick, so to speak. And, I you know, when I think about joining this intentional community, I've learned a lot that I needed to learn. You know, you can't really imagine it until you've actually done it, and that you're in that space and you're living it on a day-to-day basis. And then you find out, you know, just where to find that harmony, because if it's important enough to you, you will.
Mm.
So as we move forward into this, you know, and also when we talk about the Mayans and the Mayan calendar, we're talking about being galactic beings. Well, before I can imagine that we could become galactic, we have to be able to look at each other and our differences, whether it's cultural differences, the things that we choose to do in our lives, who we are, how we are, we have to look at those things now and realize that everybody has a right to be who they are. And that doesn't mean that they have the right to break laws or to abuse or use someone else. But we're a pretty, the Western culture, maybe all cultures are, very judgmental sometimes, and until we can find that way to look at each other, and certainly skin color shouldn't make any difference, and religious background or cultural differences shouldn't make any difference at all. It's our willingness to come into harmony with our fellow human. And if we don't do that, then I don't know how much of a challenge we have ahead of us as we walk into this new consciousness that I'm hoping that is arising in all of us.
Mm-hmm. I think probably cultural differences are a fairly major thing to look at, because we've been, our cultures are so ingrained in us, and so we think that whatever culture we are, we think that everyone thinks the way we do, or sees things the way we do, or it's always thus and so. And it's a bit of a shocker for many people to learn that that isn't so. In the Lower Mainland in BC, we've got lots of different cultures, and we see that integration happening more and more. We have the Indo community and the Asian community and the First Nations community and the Caucasian community and the Hispanic community. And one of the tendencies is to gravitate towards those communities if that's what we know the best. But we're also finding our children are becoming much more cross-cultural in their outlooks, which I think is a good thing.
Yes, I do too. And the same thing with my grandchildren. They're dating people from other cultures, and I find that it brings a real richness when you can blend in with some people, really beautiful things that you wouldn't learn any other way than to be with that person from that culture. So, mm-hmm. You know, I think I see the heart softening in all directions. And I see that at a very deep level, we're starting to really get that true feeling that we need each other. Not just to make it, but we need each other because we are one heart. We were talking today about animals and how in the animal kingdoms, they have like a spirit called rabbit, or they have a spirit called crow. And that is proven by if a crow or a rabbit or a monkey learns a behavior here in the Western world, then all of a sudden all monkeys, all crows, all rabbits start to know it. It's because it travels in the field known as rabbit. So, and I can't see how we could be any different. We have a field called human.
Yeah. Well, I saw something interesting the other day, and it was a crow snowboarding down a roof. So I think they're also learning from us.
I saw that. Amazing. For those that didn't see that, there's on the YouTube, and it might be crow going down roof or something. This crow had a little ring. Wasn't it some kind of a little ring thing?
I actually saw it on the news.
Oh, did you? He took this little ring thing to the top of the roof, and the roof was full of snow, so he stood on the ring and he slid all the way down the roof. Then he thought, wow, that's fun. So he took it up to the top and did it again.
I think it was a jar lid, actually.
Was that what it was? That was fabulous. Talk about intelligence. Now you probably see a whole bunch of crows surfing down roofs. But, you know, it is true. I do think that the hearts are softening, and thank God that with the, I'll call it a vibration change, a vibratory change, that we're all being lifted up. No matter where we thought we were, we're all going in the same direction. We're all on the same journey, and it's feeling better and better all the time that we come together in that heart, in that field called human, and to not be afraid of coming together and sharing some of the responsibilities in life. But yeah. Our parents didn't have to be two-parent families working, did they?
Mine did.
Yours did? Most of ours didn't. Mom was at home. So then
right.
It got to when I got married and had my kids, we had to work. And then thank goodness that I could share the responsibilities, like you said earlier, because I needed somebody to look after my kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in today's world with the young people now, I just want them to know that there's something really rich and wonderful that can happen when you come together with the right people. And it's important to get really clear about what it is that you would like from community and what you can bring to community so that you eliminate any problems as much as you can anyway before you even begin. Wouldn't you say that, Carol?
Yeah, my suggestion would be to seek out some communities and spend some time in different types if you've got the opportunity, you know, even if it's only a weekend or a week's holiday or something.
Mm-hmm.
And look around your own community where you are. And speaking of this global community business, wherever you live, you know, get to know your neighbors. Go knock on their door. Say hello. I'm so-and-so. And just get to know them. Because when you can smile at them and greet them by name, if there's a need down the line for cooperation, then you're already have the first step taken care of. But
yes, exactly. And
we've been
Go ahead.
I think they've been brought up in modern society to be afraid of everyone.
Yeah, don't talk to strangers.
Yeah.
You know, and
There is a certain thing there that's right. I mean, children do go missing. So it's not like I'm saying don't ignore the safety issue. But at the same time, as an adult, get to know who's around you. And very often they will begin to look out for your kids without you even realizing it. Of course, they might be telling you a few things that Johnny's been up to, but...
Mm-hmm. And don't forget that every friend you ever had came, they were a stranger to begin with. And so there's a lot of love and harmony and wonderful things that can go on when you allow people to come into your life. They're not there to hurt you. It's, you know, they make a big deal out of when somebody does go missing, which it's important for us to find them. But at the same time, when you think of the millions and millions of people that did not take that child, the millions of people that didn't shoot that gun or they didn't beat up that person. So the vast, vast majority of the people that I've ever met in my life, and I'm Grandma now, have been wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful people, all of them. There's a here and a there person that whatever challenge they're having has made them do whatever they do, and you have to be aware that that can happen. But there's no comparison to the amount of people in my life that I've met that were way on the other side, loving, wonderful people.
Yeah, I think that's the thing we tend to forget, particularly in crisis, that, suddenly the focus is on what's wrong, and we really have to remember to focus on what's right about any situation and then look for what can be done with the thing that isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
From the position of what is working.
Yeah. So after your experience in life and living in community, would you suggest and endorse that for other people?
I would.
I would too. I knew you would say that, Carol. Because I've watched you, and I know many of the people that have lived in your home and many that are your friends, and you can't look back on that and not see that there's been a really beautiful experience had by being with people. And you learn something from everyone, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I would encourage people to consider it if that's one of the things that that you think that you'd like to try. And at the same time, I want to encourage young people to, as you were saying earlier, Carol, the backyard gardens. And if you're going to live on your own and hold it together on your own, then learn some of the basic things of survival. Because it's not that today is any worse than 100 years ago, but it's important that we always know those base things. How to plant something. Where to get your water, and all, you know, just a few things.
Yep, that's true. Of course, 100 years ago, that was a significant focus of a lot of people's lives, was survival. And we've been blessed in many ways over the last 100 years to have that come much more easily. But it still useful.
Mm-hmm. And 100 years ago, that's why when I said earlier that people got ready for the cycles and the seasons. I want to remind the young people, don't forget about stuff like that. Because it's important that you even teach your children, even if you haven't had any yet, you need to teach your children how to plant something in the earth, how to get water, and how to make some kind of a shelter happen. That is your job. That's your responsibility. And our grandparents and our parents passed it down to us, and we might have thought that they were old-fashioned and they didn't know what they were talking about, but man, oh man, you come to the time when you say, thank goodness that I was told that. Thank goodness I know that. And I think with the young people, too, it's just like the older generations go, oh, my goodness, look at what's happening to the young people. And then, of course, it's their job to try to break away from us so that they can grow.
Yeah.
And they can become who they need to become. But somewhere in the middle, we need to share some information so that through the generations, there's always that ability to look after yourself if you need to. If the lights go out, simple, if the lights go out, what will you be prepared for?
Yeah, do you have candles? Do you have oil lamps with oil for them?
Yeah. And when you were saying a little earlier, too, about living in community and having that support for one another, what a beautiful feeling that is. And that community feeling stretches, I know, not just where we live, but I noticed that community, we all go to work. We all do. We do different things that we have as careers. And but even if we were way out there somewhere and the car was stuck, somebody in this community would come and get you. They just would.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Look around and find out. I mean, I know at one point in my life I was living in community and I was badly hurt. And there was no question that someone was getting me to the hospital and someone was staying with me at the hospital. And coming home, people checked on me every day. They brought me food, whatever I needed. And that kind of thing, you know, when you're a single person, as I was then, I wouldn't have been able to manage otherwise.
Yeah. And even as we talk of community tonight, I know that there are a lot of people listening to us tonight that come from our extended community. As soon as they knew that you were going to be online with me, Carol, everybody was saying, oh, I really want to hear that. I really want to be a part of that. And that's part of that extended community, that support system that's always there and always pleased to be with you and with each other. So before someone says, oh, my God, I can't live with other people, really stop for a minute. If you haven't tried it, then I would say don't knock it. You don't have to be a sheep. You can be yourself. And that's what makes good communities rich, is when everybody's just a little bit unique and brings their own gifts and their own presence to the group. So I wanted to acknowledge that we've got a lot of our friends out there listening tonight, and I just want to say hello to them and thank them from the bottom of my heart just for that support, that energetic support that I know they're giving right now. And before we say goodbye, Carol, I just want to again thank the Emissaries of Divine Light and Edenvale Retreat Center for supporting this program. And this program, as it goes along every second Sunday at 8 o'clock, we're going to have all sorts of different speakers giving their perspectives, and perspectives from their own experience. They didn't just read a book. They lived it. And that's why I really appreciate you being with me tonight, Carol, because I know that you've lived it. And I can see how somehow your soul is richer from having that experience.
Yeah, and I trust that the people I've lived with, their souls are richer as well. From my standpoint, it personally, it's more important to me that other people have been enriched more than I've been enriched. So it's got to be mutual.
Mm-hmm.
It can't go one way.
No. Well, my dear, I thank you very much for being with me tonight and sharing your deep perspective on what it's like to be in intentional communities and how it can be a very rich experience if you allow it to be and you're willing to go with the flow and to know that you learn something from each individual. And I'm here now for my, it's going to be my third year. Nothing compared to your 40 years, Carol. But every day I just feel more and more like I'm wrapped up in a beautiful, beautiful feeling of community. And that's what I came for, and that's what I've got. So thank you, my dear, and thank you all for joining us tonight. And is there anything that you'd like to say before you go, Carol?
Thank you very much. It's not a topic I would have ever thought of speaking about, but I suddenly realized I do have 40 years experience.
Yeah, and you're still smiling at the other end. So thank you, and thank you, everyone, for joining us at the Creative Field, and please be with us 2 weeks from now, 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, when we will have more and wonderful topics that bring positive perspectives for our future. So thank you all, and good night, Carol, and good night, everyone.
Good night, Jeannie.